This is Reverse Deception Radio on the Veritas Radio Network, Crusade Channel.
Purple haze all in my brain. Lately things don't seem the same. All acting funny, but I don't know why. Won't you please excuse me while I kiss the sky?
King-size truth from radio-sized speakers.
Instead of letting live sharks rain down on people, we're going to get in that chopper and throw bombs into the tornadoes.
You're going to get busted.
What are you people, on dope?
You under arrest, sugar.
We're in trouble, aren't we?
Oh, yeah. You're in big trouble.
Well, what the hell was supposed to do, you moron?
If you have any poo, fling it now.
I gotta barbecue your ass! Leave a lesson!
Well, here's another nice mess you've gotten me into.
Cute and cuddly, boys.
Cute and cuddly.
Why don't we just skip the whole business and go home?
Now, doggone it, there's something wrong here. I know there's something wrong.
I represented New York, and I represented New York on 9-11.
The integrity of the Senate itself.
When we were attacked, where were we attacked? We were attacked...
I'll alert the media.
...in downtown Manhattan, where Wall Street is. I did spend a whole lot of time and effort helping them rebuild.
Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
That was good for New York.
Silence, you ninny.
It was good for the economy.
Enough, stop it.
What an eccentric performance.
Here he comes now, the big hand.
This is your host, Gregory Junk Bond Carpenter.
You are obviously a nonconformist. And the rebel!
All right, name that tune in three notes. Anybody? At GSCarp12 on the Twitter. GSCarp12 at Hotmail or GSCarp12 at Yahoo. This is your host, Gregory Junk Bond Carpenter, here on another wonderful, awesome episode of Reverse Deception Radio. Today, if you caught the initials this morning when I was talking with Mike, you'll find out what we were talking about. We're talking about advertising. We're talking about glasses. We're talking about biology, psychology, and fake transgender sexuality in a nutshell. So let's start it off right away with what I talked with Mike about this morning, and it's junk bond. See, it's one word. It's not two words. I appreciate the emails that I get from folks, and I love reading them. I like getting the input, but it is not, hey, junk, or Mr. Bond. It's junk bond. It's one word, folks, one word, okay? Not that it bothered me, not in the least. Let's talk about advertising, psychology, advertising, and why you end up buying things that you've bought something, you've realized that you don't need it, or it's not exactly what you wanted, and you had to go back, you had to exchange it, you turned it back in, you wanted to get rid of it. Well, there's many, many different tactics that marketers and advertisers use on a daily basis that have become part of our life. This type of a practice started many years ago, but it was really, really brought to the forefront and really perfected during the late 40s and early 50s here in the States. They've identified how to target specific groups of people for their wants, needs, based on their market assessments, and you fall right in the middle of it. You are targeted from day one, and as soon as you turn on a computer, you're targeted. Every click you make, every time you hang your mouse cursor over something on a search page, that gets recorded. And that turns into the different types of things that you see that come up when they're recommending different products for you. How do you think they know what products are good for you? How do you think they know what products you, quote, want? It's because they watch your browsing activity. But from the psychology side, how do they actually get you into a position where you proactively go out and waste your hard-earned money? David Simpson made a great assessment not that long ago. He said that every time you take your money and you pay for something, that equals X number of dollars that you have given away, and that represents X number of hours of your time that you're never going to get back. That is a part of what you did to get where you are. And once you spend that money, it's gone, and it's gone forever. So there's a lot of bag and a lot of tricks in the bags of advertising and marketing agencies. And you sometimes you feel like you're malleable, you're putty, because they're manipulating you so much. Let's kick off with the first one here, scare tactics. Now, there's a lot of ways that they use fear to, and most obviously it's used by companies in the field of like security, personal safety, health care or medical care. Basically, bad things are going to happen if you don't go and buy their product. There are other ways that fear can creep into advertising strategies also. For instance, you can have the fear of missing out on something. The psychology at play. It's very, very popular, and it's becoming more popular every day. You know, in an age when information is so readily available, but so pervasive, how do you make sure you see everything you're supposed to see? Well, that's why you need this phone. That's why you need this app. That's why you need this TV package, this bundle. That's why you need to go here, right? That's why you need to watch this show. That's why you need to download these products. That's why you need to get this DVD set. You see? Remember, fear is what is considered a lizard brain emotion. It's primal. It's easy to tap into. It's easy to get people into a position of fear. When we have people in that position, they are easily manipulated. Now, this is not something that I say that we should be doing. We should be taking the complete opposite approach and not allowing these types of things to affect us. But remember, stop, take a breath, think about the reality of your situation. Because do you really need a security system for your home? Your doors have double locks. Your windows are locked. What's the crime rate in your community? Do you really have anything to be afraid of? Has your house ever been robbed? How about the people on your street, in your cul-de-sac, in your neighborhood? How many crimes have been committed in that neighborhood? Do you need to preemptively go out and spend $50, $60, $70, $80, $100 a month? Buy $5,000 worth of equipment? Really? Do you need CCTV around your house? Do you need those cameras running? Do you need a separate server to collect all the video that's running all the time? Do you want to live in a neighborhood that's like that? Think about the relationship of risk to the vulnerability that you have, and understand that in most situations, you don't need the product. You really don't need it. Matter of fact, 99% of the time, you're probably not going to need the product. And 99.5% of the time, you're not going to use the product. Really? You're just being manipulated like everybody else. Now, number two is the concept of, or the practice of promising happiness. By far, the greatest method of grabbing new customers is always by promising their happiness. And it's been going on a long time. As a matter of fact, since the 1960s. And it's more powerful today than it really ever was. It looks kind of like this. Right now, you're unhappy. Why? Because you're alive. Do you need a specific reason to be unhappy? No, people make their own reasons to be unhappy. Think about it. How many people do you walk down the street and you see them and you say to them, hey, good morning, how you doing? Like, good morning. Where they put up a pretend, hey, how are you? And then go back right to grumbling afterward. How many people make themselves unhappy? How many people allow the situations around them, their environment, the people they know, where they're at, what they're doing, they're stuck in traffic, this, that, they make themselves unhappy. But if you order before midnight tonight and you buy this product or service, you will be filled with happiness and joy. It's the concept of materialism that transcends your emotions. You can get cars, jewelry, you can sign up for a dating service, all kinds of electronic gadgets. But the basic premise, the idea, the concept behind this, it never, never changes. Advertisers use you. They create a hole in you and then tell you to plug that hole with the new phone, a vacation, a new purse, a new suit. But the hole really isn't there at all. It's your perception that the hole is there. When you purchase it, of course, the happiness, it's fleeting. And pretty soon, you're looking for something else to fill that void that they exploited in you. Having the right type of a relationship with God will fill you with joy. You don't need to buy a purse. You don't need to go on a vacation. You don't need to have that latest iPhone. You have no idea how bad I want it because it's got X number of features. Your relationship with God is all you really need that will give you joy and happiness. Don't fall for the fact that you really need something because you don't. Third tactic, attacking your social standing. So this is the concept of kind of keeping up with the Joneses. Now, it's been a proven method of selling products for decades, and it really works well. Someone once said, we measure our happiness or success by our neighbors. What does that mean? That's keeping up with the Joneses. You know, if you have a three-year-old Toyota and it's in fantastic condition and someone next to you drives an old beater, well, you're better than them, right? Or just because you happen to have a 2017 BMW and your neighbor only has a 2016 BMW, ha, ha, ha. You're one step up on the Joneses. You're going to feel better. It's that emotional, primal feeling that you have again, the concept that the emotion is driving what you're doing. You know, you need this product because, well, everyone around you is getting it. And many people fall into that pressure. But how many people, seriously, how many people have a stinking $700 smartphone? How many people drop $800 on their Android or their iPhone? Come on. Let's be real about this. Everybody does this. Some people, I understand, some people get a smartphone because it's functional. It does all this stuff and allows them to, get all the information they need, right? The scare tactic. Right? If you don't have this product or service, blah, 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 you got to keep up with all the news that's going on. Yeah. Pretty much everybody's fallen for this technique once, twice, three times, five times. If you have an iPhone 7, you've probably fallen for it at least seven times. That's 7 times about an average of $550 for each of the phones. If you get iPhone 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, all the way up without getting duplicates, you spend $3,500 on a telephone, something that you used to spend, what, $18 on a month. You just bought $3,500 worth of product. And that's not including the service that you have to have, because you have to have the best package that's going to, what, give you the most bandwidth, the most minutes, the most, whatever. Number 4, limiting availability. Another way of saying that it's, you're creating an artificial scarcity in the market by identifying a limited edition. And again, this one works really well, which is why they do it all the time. For example, manufacturers will put out a theme version of the products to tie in with a movie or TV series and provide limited editions of them. Star Wars. Disney's good at it. The Snow White Limited 75th Anniversary Edition DVD. Only $75. $75. Really? The limited 50th year anniversary of Fantasia version came out. And you have to have what? You have to have the book on how Fantasia was made. Right? Okay, it's cartoons and it's music. You had an orchestra and they made cartoons, and that's how they put it together, see? But don't worry. If you spend $150, you can have that limited edition. And of course, the same thing happens when they market a TV show, the I Love Lucy series that came out, the Lucy Show series. They came out for a limited time only, right? And it was the limited edition of the special of the 40th anniversary or something I saw. And now if you want it, shoot, you have to go to Amazon to get it because you couldn't get it from the original manufacturer's site. Because why? It was a limited edition. Now, it's much cheaper on Amazon now. I'm sorry to say, you're going to have to pay a lower price if you want it now, as opposed to the time when it came out when it was a limited edition. Now it's just common. The product itself really, obviously, is not scarce at all. There's lots of them around. Nike does this too, as a matter of fact. Nike's really good with their limited sneaker lines. You pay huge money. How much you pay for a pair of sneakers nowadays? $100, $150 sometimes? My son wanted a pair of $100 sneakers. And it's funny, Mike was talking about this morning. Buster Brown. Buster Brown, for $3.98, I could have a pair of Keds sneakers that worked just as well as a $120 pair of Air Jordans. Why? I wasn't a professional basketball player. I was never going to be a professional basketball player. I could kick the kickball on the playground. Just as if I had Air Jordans, my Keds worked just as well. And when we went to Mass on Sunday, I would put on my Buster Brown shoes, my suit, my tie, and I would look like I was the snappiest 7-year-old that was out there. I have to admit, I looked better than my brothers. Just because I'm the best looking of the three. And the suit didn't hurt at all. But I digress. Understand, folks, that the idea of a limited edition anything isn't really a limited edition. I know people that go to the mall and they'll buy 3, 4, 5 sets of the same thing. They'll get 2 pair of shoes. Why? It's a limited edition. You're never going to see this again. Bunk. You have to ask yourself, do you really need this just because there aren't many of them? Do you really need that item? No. Odds are you don't. Tactic number 5, becoming friends with you. Now, you trust your friends more than you do a complete stranger, right? Yeah. So advertisers found a way to make themselves more appealing to you. They have social media campaigns that do a great job. And they get into your circle of friends. They have fun videos and they make messages and they put them out there and they interact with people every day. And when it comes to buying a certain product or service, guess who's top of mind? Guess who's right there in the forefront of your brain? Different brands, different companies don't want to be your friend. I'm going to break that truth to you right now. They could care less. They could care less. Now, they do want your money and they do want your loyalty. But you personally, they don't care about you. You're the one creating in your mind the false relationship that does not exist. You're creating something that's not there. Remember, the only reason they want your loyalty is for the money. So don't be fooled by this approach either, okay? You can like a brand and that's great, but when you go to purchase something, scrutinize that brand just like you would anything else. Don't give them a check mark just because you converse with them. Don't give them a check mark just because you see more from them. It's not like that. It's only like that in your mind. Number six, creating positive associations. You know, there's celebrities out there that have millions of fans and they're liked, they're respected and admired, right? Seinfeld, Kardashian, that's a name I hear a lot. Not necessarily admired by everybody, but a lot of people know them. They have name recognition. That's the way I mean to say it. Name recognition. And so a company, a brand will take that positive association that somebody else out there has or the awareness of association and use it in a positive or a negative way. In some markets, so they'll change markets. When you have a situation like Seinfeld, a lot of people know Seinfeld, they like Seinfeld, they'll make things associated with Seinfeld. A coffee cup with Seinfeld's face on it, whatever it's going to be. A CD of his jokes, something like that. But you'll see him, and then he'll be showing products like that. And he'll be on TV, and he'll be the spokesman for that. Like Michael Jordan was for a long time with Nike. Right. He worked with Wheaties. I better eat my Wheaties. Okay. A lot of people like Michael Jordan. He's probably a better example than the others, I guess. And they have this association with him as being good, doing good. Why? Because he's a successful athlete and he hasn't been locked up like Dennis Rodman. And he's not a freak show like some of the other people out there. Okay. He seems to be quiet, moral, and that resonates with a lot of people. But just because somebody has their name tied to it, somebody's associated with a product, again, they let you make that false association that's not there. In statistics, there's a saying, and I know everybody loves math and statistics, and the saying goes, correlation does not prove causation. What that means is a correlation, just because two things act in the same manner, Michael Jordan, good, smart, and he's shown on the screen at the same time with Nike shoes, does not mean that Nike shoes are good, awesome, cool, and something you have to have. Michael Jordan might be good, awesome, cool, and the shoes might be good, awesome, cool, but just because Michael Jordan is good, awesome, cool doesn't mean that he's sitting in the warehouse making the shoes to Michael Jordan basketball playing standards. There's two totally different worlds. So just because something happens and something else happens at the same time, it's like the number of and we used to use this on a final exam for statistics at Seton Hall. The number of children born in northern Germany in a specific period of time, the number rose over time and during certain times of years, as did the numbers for appearances of storks at the same time over the same number of years. In the fall, you'd see a rise in childbirth, and in the fall, you'd see a rise in the number of sightings of storks. Does that have anything to do with the fact that storks bring babies? I'm guessing no. You see, but you can see how you can correlate things in a positive association that really are not happening at all. Number seven, make you laugh. Making you laugh. Think about this. Why are the Super Bowl ads usually really funny? Why do so many social media posts by different brands make you laugh? It's a simple answer. Laughter is a positive emotion. It creates endorphins. Makes you feel good. And when you feel good, you make a positive association with that feeling, and you will subconsciously transcend that and make a positive association to the brand or to the item that you saw. And your body will make a timestamp of that, and you'll remember it. That means that you falsely believe that just because you laughed about a product and you felt good, that when you spend that money and you buy that product, you're going to feel just as good. Now, when you think of it like that, how ludicrous does it sound? How crazy does that really sound? Just because you laughed when you saw it means you're going to laugh when you have it. It's going to make you happy. I saw a commercial for a new car, and it was a silly commercial because the people were joking around, and typical of commercials these days, the guy's a dum-dum and the woman straightens him out and squares him away and tells him how he's going to live his life and the fact that he has to have the car and he doesn't know how to spend money. Well, it was a funny commercial. But I can promise you that I'm not going to go out and spend $55,562 on that new vehicle just because I laughed at the commercial. You see, you have to take that step and you have to identify that just because you saw a funny incident doesn't mean that you have to be associated with the product. Don't fall for it. It's very common, very useful for companies. Breaks down barriers. You get this feeling, this warm feeling inside. Like I said, it creates endorphins. When you laugh, you create a lot of endorphins. Pain goes away when you laugh. And if you never really experienced that, you can do what I did one day and hit your hand with a hammer and then have somebody make jokes about it and stuff like that. I didn't intentionally hit my hand with the hammer, okay? That's not what happened, folks. I was working on the house, and I set the hammer down. I went downstairs, and then, of course, the hammer fell down and landed on my hand. So I didn't physically go out and intentionally hit my hand with the hammer, but everybody laughed, and they started making jokes, and I started to laugh, and I felt the pain go away. I won't talk about the stitches. Number eight, humanizing things and animals. This is one of my favorites. This is known as anthropomorphism. What'd he say? Anthropomorphism is actually giving the human abilities to an animal. You know, the gecko, the Geico gecko, right? He's a good one. Aflac, the duck. Tony the tiger, he's another good one. These are all prime examples of this technique. It's unexpected, it's unusual, and it's humorous when it first happens. And of course, as the jokes go on, it's just as funny. And it makes it easier for us to connect emotionally with the brand as opposed to logically. Other techniques given include giving human-like features to typeface or innate objects. You make something that's not alive come to life and you give it human characteristics. People see that. They look at it. They laugh. They laugh. Remember the trees in The Wizard of Oz in the forest that caught Dorothy? Well, they weren't really nice, but boy, I laughed. I thought those things were hysterical. I never saw an apple tree with an attitude in my life. You know what I did when after I watched that? I went right outside to my apple tree and I picked some apples. And nothing happened. And I laughed. It works on people. Number 9, employing reverse psychology. Now this, of course, everybody thinks, you know, as an adult, I do it to my kids. And that's how I get them to do things. Well, it doesn't just work on kids. As an adult, you're easily taken in by reverse psychology methods used in advertising. And it happens every day. It can be as obvious. Christopher, I'm getting a lot of feedback. All right. It can be as obvious as, you know, one famous ad is like, yeah, don't buy this jacket, or more subtle, like the incredible lemon ad for VW. They call their car a lemon, but when you found out why, you wanted it more, right? Well, the same concept is working on you in so many other ads. One of the things that people do is when they watch television, they become relaxed and they become focused and they become friendly with the TV in a psychological sense. And when you watch TV, you become open-minded to what you see, which is why advertising works so well on television. And people don't understand why they have this urge to do this or do that. You know, I don't know too many, I mean, I do know some Amish people, and I don't know too many that rush out to go buy a VW because they saw the lemon ad. And I don't know a lot of Amish people that go out and buy VWs anyways, but the idea is that they're not sitting staring at the television. They're not waiting for the television to tell them what to do with their life. You know, reverse psychology is all about a false sense of control and superiority that it gives to the customer. It makes you feel like you're smarter than the advertiser. You know, in effect, it also has a, you know, kind of a don't tell me what I think. I'm going to do that myself. I'm going to do that anyways. The same idea, the same reason, the same way that children engage. You find yourself wanting, you want to argue with the brand, you buy it because you want to show them who's the boss, right? You want to let them know who the boss is. It's most definitely you. And of course, number 10, which has worked so long for many years, is selling sex and provocative imagery, phones and water, anything you can think of. Provocative stuff always sells. Again, deep primal response. And at the end of the day, a lot of people are taken in by the empty promises and fake parallels that they can draw. Again, it's all about not understanding in your own mind what's being done and what's happening to and with you. You're building an association in your mind that's not really there. It's not really there. In your mind, sometimes you take a trip and you say, well, I'd like to go to a baseball game, and you dream about it and you think about it. It's like, boy, it'd be great if I was at the baseball game. And okay, you're not at the baseball game. It didn't happen. You didn't get there. The same thing with these associations that are suggested in marketing and advertising. Those are not real things. They're not real associations that are being drawn. Larry Bird and Michael Jordan are not going to come over to your house and sit down and have lunch with you because you bought a pair of Nikes, or you could sink it by bouncing it off your friend's head, off of the billboard, off of the back of the building, and across the backside of Chicago. It doesn't happen that way. Boxcar Willie is not going to come over and give you a free concert at your house just because you support such and such a charity. These things don't happen. It's not real. And everything is advertising, folks. Everything you see, everything you hear, everything you do. Everybody is looking for you to buy a service, to pay for something. You have to discern in your mind. You have to make that decision yourself. What is real? What is fake? What is beneficial for you? What will have benefits for your family, for their life, and hereafter? And what is smoke? This is a good example here. The Veritas Radio Network. This has been put together. This is a labor of huge effort that Mike has undergone here to put this all together. Many of us come on and we spend time. We spend precious time sharing things with you folks. Why? Because we feel it's important, and a vast number of people out there really believe it's important because they're subscribing. They're listening. If you share with your friends, your neighbors, your relatives, what you're hearing here in a free way at first, let them listen to the free stream. Let them hear for themselves. Then let them take that and consider what they're going to do. Let them become a member. They can make the choice themselves. We don't need big pumped up advertising campaigns. When you focus around what is the truth, and everything you have to provide is wholesome, everything you have to provide is truthful, it's honest, it's not manipulative. We're not advertisers, we're not marketers, we don't do that type of stuff. We do laugh because we have fun. God's put joy in our hearts. We love to do this. But let them hear it. Share it with them. Let them make that logical decision. Anybody can make an emotional decision. I just explained that. Anybody can make a knee-jerk reaction and go buy this, go buy that. It really takes someone who's willing to make a difference, who's willing to learn and educate themselves, to become a better person for themselves, their family. And, you know, and what should we be doing as dads? I'm speaking for myself, obviously. My job is to get my kids into heaven. That's my job. That I know. My job is to make sure that my household is run in an orderly manner, and that I'm doing the right things, and I'm taking care of my wife and my children. And I make sure that I get them pointed in the right direction, because that's what God's told me to do. See, there's not a lot of flair in that, is there? Not for an earthly person thinking in an earthly manner. Take the time. Tell your friends. Tell your family. Have them listen. The Crusade Channel is so much more, folks. So much more. So moving on to some more truth in reality. We're going to talk about glasses. And we're going to talk about light. And this is an interesting topic because, again, it's all about the science. How do you see color? Well, you see color because light enters your eyes, and it enters in a certain amount at certain angles and is refracted in a certain way. And I'm not going to get into the deep technicals of it. But some people can't see color. And that's because they have too much light. They have too little of another kind. And it's an abnormality that doesn't allow them to see color. A couple of years ago, there was a company called Enchroma. They came out with glasses that helped people break through the colorblind barrier, so they put it. And I'm going to read a short article here that it came from Forbes magazine. And it says, can these glasses really fix colorblindness? And from the author, he says, confession, I'm colorblind. It's not that I can't see other colors. I've actually lived most of my life without being a bit aware of my condition. But when I was presented with one of those tests, I failed. I failed every single time. Various shades of red, green, or other types of color blindness impact about 6% of the male population. 6%. That's not a huge group, but it is a, you know, it's a substantial number of people. So he came across a company in Chroma and was interested to see what he was missing. And he said, had I been experiencing a pale reflection of the real world? My curiosity was especially piqued when I saw the various videos of Enchroma posted online, showing the moment when colorblind individuals put the glasses on for the first time. The reactions ranged from excitement to tearful joy. Is it really that simple? Is it really just a pair of glasses? Quote, in the simplest explanation, Enchroma's glasses work by reestablishing the correct balance between signals from the three photopigments in the eye of the color deficit. The glass scientist, Donald McPherson, who serves as the chief scientist, explained it. The eyewear does this by removing small slices of light from the visible spectra. At the cortical level, the neural machinery is intact and perfectly functioning in color blindness. So once the correct ratios entering the eye are reestablished, the neural mechanisms excite and the correct color can be seen or perceived. The article is a little bit long, and I'm not going to go through the whole thing. But basically what the doctor was saying was that the mechanics are there. All the pieces are there to make the car work. The car can drive, but there's a reason why the car is not driving. And in this case, there's no air filters. So too much junk can end up in the car and disrupt natural flow of the car. There's no gas, there's no oil, there's something like that going on. But it's the external, the stuff that's put into the car. So the eye itself is fine. It's the externals that get put into the eye, and that is the ratio of light waves, the light signals. So as soon as I tried on the glasses, he said, most objects looked like slightly more than just regular vibrant versions of themselves. It was only when I glanced at a familiar brick in my house that I became aware of things. The brick had always appeared brown. What color are these bricks? I asked a friend. Red, they said. The same experience repeated itself again and again and again. What color is that? I'd ask of everything I formerly knew to be brown. And again, it was red. Well, that's red. And they seem to spread out the red, brown, green color range, moving them from a lot of muddy mess to a number of distinct colors. It was perfectly subtle for the most part, especially for the indoor lenses. I saw a bigger difference with the sunglasses. So understand that these sunglasses will actually filter the light in the correct manner But of course, you have to go, and you should always go to an optometrist. And in some cases, you might have to go to an ophthalmologist. And the difference is optometrist does eye checks. They can prescribe glasses, medications, things like that, that relate to the functioning, the vision capability of the eyes. An ophthalmologist is a surgeon who can take it to the next level if something needs to anatomically or physiologically be corrected in the eye itself. But always go to the doctor. However, this in itself is a huge, huge step. These glasses came out, they were over $500 a pair. Now, you could get a pair off for about $200. The prices have come way down. Of course, there's some stuff that's available like on Amazon and things like that. But again, always check with an ophthalmologist. Or I mean, it makes sense, right? Why would you go get a medical device of any kind without talking to your doctor about it? I'm not selling anything. I'm not advertising anything. I am telling you that there are things out there, and you should probably check with your doctor if you are colorblind and you would like to see colors, because there are solutions out there that that doctor could probably prescribe or could send you in a way that you can find a solution. This is an exciting thing. It's an opportunity. I'm very hopeful for something like this, because it's not messing with people. It's not genetically changing them. It's not doing all this other stuff that could be scary. This is just something very simple, is putting on a pair of sunglasses outside. And if nothing else, you know, even if it doesn't work extremely well, you are looking really cool and dapper. So you got that going for you. All right. And last big thing of the day here, I got a couple more things, but last big thing I want to knock on the door of today is how the transgender agenda is failing. There was a recent experiment that was just published, and it was published at, you would pronounce it with V's for W's because it's a German research is what it was. Wiesbander at weissmann.ac.il. Weissmann is Weizmann. And it is a medical scientific research center, and it's a genetic center. And it's a joint facility run by the Germans, Brits, a couple other places have physicians and researchers that work there too. And this is from this one's from the Daily Wire. I also have the research paper here from the Institute itself. Transgender activists have simultaneously detached gender completely from sex and suggested that men can magically become women by merely identifying as female and vice versa. Greg Junkbond Carpenter note here. Okay. Just because you pretend you're a woman, if you're a guy and you're pretending you're a woman, don't expect me to lower my standards and lie and pretend that you're a woman. I'm not going to do that. Okay. Just word of caution for anybody out there who's pretending to be a woman. And the same thing for someone who's pretending to be a guy. If you're a gal who's pretending to be a guy, I will not magically pretend that you all of a sudden are a guy. It's not going to happen. Continuing on, this is untrue, of course. A new study composed by the Weissmann Institute of Science and Research just widened the hole in the transgender narrative. It has been found that the two sexes express over 6,500 genes differently, adding to the already major biological difference between men and women. Now, wait a minute, Greg. 6,500 genes? I don't have that many pair hanging in my closet. Okay, genes are different, and I always get this. Genes are different than chromosomes. Genes are different than chromosomes. All right, now that we got that. Genes, chromosomes, right? Okay, good. You have lots of genes. 6,500 of them are expressed differently. And what does that mean? What does it mean when I express a gene differently? The Weizmann Institute of Science researchers recently uncovered thousands of genomes that are expressed, quote, copied out to make proteins differently in the two sexes. Well, what does that mean, Greg? Well, what it means is the genes, as they're applied by the body, do different things in the body. For example, medication. Do you prescribe exactly the same medication to a man as you do a woman? Oh, no, they weigh differently. Ah, says conventional wisdom. Is it a factor? Yes. But genetically, men and women synthesize medication differently. What percentage of men snore as compared to women? Men and women, both physiologically, have what's needed to be able to express milk. But why does it develop in women and not in men? All of these things, go back to one major factor, and that is that there are vast differences in sex. The basic genome is nearly the same in all of us, but it is utilized differently across the body and among individuals, says Dr. Gershoni. Thus, when it comes to the difference between the sexes, we see that how it works differently for different levels of gene expression in the opposite sexes. Paradoxically, sex-linked genes are those in which harmful mutations are more likely to be passed down, including those that impair fertility. From this vantage point, men and women undergo different selection pressures, and at least to some extent, human evolution should be viewed as co-evolution, or the existence. It doesn't mean actual evolution. But the study also emphasized the need for better understanding of the differences between men and women in the genes that cause disease or respond to treatments. What it's saying is very simple. Any disease or any mutation that is a harmful mutation genetically will be passed down if it's just prevalent in one sex or the other, or if it's just carried in one sex or the other, because it has to be passed down. There's no way to work out and get it out genetically if it's only passed down by one side or the other, because it can't be excluded. It's always included. We're looking at a situation here that reiterates the fact that men and women are so vastly different. A lot of commonality, a lot of things the same. We have all the same genes, but they're used differently because you have men and you have women. And one final 15-second concept here, this week in security. Intel has finally patched a logic bug that's been around since, wait for it, 2010. It's been vulnerable since 2008. They've always denied that it was a logic bug, and they said that there was some type of virus. And then they said, okay, it was a logic bug. And, well, now they decided to fix it. Ladies and gentlemen, Intel is on your side. They're working out there kind of hard, just like everybody else, to make sure that your computer is as secure as they want it. Thanks for joining us this week. I'm Greg Carpenter. This is Reverse Deception Radio on the Veritas Radio Network. God bless you all, and have a great week.
Is it male or female?
No, I don't think so.
I've got no option but to sell you all for scientific experiments.
You wouldn't dare.
Be sure and tell them Large Marge sent ya.
Yeah.
This is Reverse Deception Radio on the Veritas Radio Network, Crusade Channel. King-sized truth from radio-sized speakers.